Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. So we have spent some time talking about a variety of different sports, from volleyball to basketball to American football, to global football or soccer.
Yeah, weightlifting,
so many different things we've covered, and today is going to be a little bit different. Again, we're talking global athletics and competition, and so we'll address some of those same questions we've had before. This one is a field event, one that has always interested me in the sense that I have no idea how they do it. I wouldn't even know where to start, and I would be far too nervous because I looked and saw a lot of videos of this sport going horribly, horribly wrong, and that is pole vault. We're going to be speaking with the current qualified representative for the Philippines for the upcoming Tokyo 2020 Olympics, Ernest Obiena. Ernest has made national spotlight as the in the Philippines as being the first athlete to officially qualify for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Since then, there have been other athletes who are qualified and ready to go, but Ernest was the first one. After he got first place in the Asian Games for his field event of pole vault, since then he also placed first at Universaid in Naples, Italy, where he's currently training. Following that event, he dropped down significantly down to 15th, where he tied in the World Championships in Qatar. However, Ernest is looking forward to the upcoming Asian or Southeast Asian Games coming in just a week and a half or 2 weeks now. And so he's looking forward to that as he continues to train in Italy, and he's ready to represent the Philippines in the Southeast Asian Games. Just like when we talked to Heidlin Diaz, go ahead and check that episode out. It's like when we talked to Heidlin, Ernest is a heavy favorite. I mean, he already got first place in the Asian Games, and this is a even more condensed version of the Asian Games competing against just Southeast Asian countries. So it stands to reason that Ernest Obiena would be a heavy favorite for the Southeast Asian Games. So that's something we touch on a little bit. I ask Ernest, what is it like? How does it feel? Does it affect you? Does it something you think about when you know you're a heavy favorite? Because it's no secret. Especially, again, when you win gold in the Asian Games, it only stands to reason that you're going to be the heavy favorite in the Southeast Asian Games as your competition gets smaller and smaller with no new added competition. The same question comes up, just like when we talked to Heidlin again, is being the favorite that they are and the high level that they are in their sport, what would it be like to win the first ever gold medal in the Philippines? We continue to touch on that just because it's never happened. And we have to be getting close. And so it's we really want to really nail down that question of what it would be like. Can you explain, can you put that into words? Ernest has also some great conversation with me, or really he's, he talks and gives fantastic insight on the availability of training as far as something that to me seems fairly obscure of pole vault. I know there's probably some big pole vaulters listening that are offended by that, but it seems obscure to me, and not to say that it's obscure to everybody, but it seems like it to me because I've never done it, and I'm quite confident I'd be terrible at it, if not dead from the fall. So he talks about what opportunities are out there, specifically in his home country of the Philippines, and how he'd like to change that. We do briefly talk about funding, which I think is important and helpful, and overall great interview. Ernest is really focused on representing the Philippines well, even though he's training out in Italy in the upcoming Sea Games, and then taking that hopeful success in the Sea Games, or whatever he learns from the Sea Games, to the 2020 Tokyo Games. So enjoy this again as we dissect a little bit more of what it looks like to have these international competitions, and what it's like to be an athlete like that in countries that we may not be as familiar with, or maybe we are familiar with. But either way, it gives a great insight on what that would be like. So enjoy the interview. Thank you again to Ernest for your time. Good luck training. Stay healthy, something we touched on. Please stay healthy. Nothing worse, no matter who you want to win, nothing worse than an injury for any athlete. That's just terrible to watch. So stay healthy. Good luck in the Sea Games and the upcoming Tokyo Games. And we'll keep a watch like we would like to do with all of our guests. We'll keep an eye out for you. But enjoy the interview. And thank you, Ernest, for your time.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league. And through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hi, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. Hey, to start off, could you settle, how do I pronounce your last name? Is it Obiena or Obina?
Yeah, Obiena. Obiena. O-B-I-E-N-A.
Nice. My Filipino wife was right. I was guessing. No. I was guessing and I was wrong. She said, no, it's Obiena. I said, all right. I guess we'll find out. All right. So to start off, for everybody, why don't you introduce who you are and kind of what you do?
I'm Ernest John Obiena. I'm a pole vaulter representing Philippines.
Okay. And so your past experience has been what? An international competition?
I started competing internationally since I was 16, I think, if I remember correctly. I have represented Philippines in Southeast Asian Games, Asian Championship, some world competitions, a couple here and there. I can't really remember every competition, but it's been a while. I've been competing for a while now.
Have you been taking home first places? Or you've been placing pretty high in these recent ones?
Yeah, this year was a really, really great year for me. Won a couple of medals, won the Asian Championship, broke the record there. Went to the World University, won the competition as well, then did some European circuit, and I was in the diamond. It was it was awesome. Coming from what happened last year, it's awesome.
Can you explain a little bit about what did happen last year?
I'll say I take it last year, but I mean, like, my injury coming in last year was tough. Like, to be honest, like, when I started back, all I had in my mind was just to represent my university in the local competitions, like UAAP, just to finish, you know, just to have that degree, and didn't really think that I'd be better than I would than pre-injury, you know, because I torn my ACL and MCL. So I had, then I had my surgery, then everything just didn't look bright, you know, like it was, how do I say it? It was, if I look at myself, those times, it was more of a blessing if I would be able to run than to jump. Like, it wasn't just something that said that, hey, you can come back from this.
Hey, so for yes, your sir. Injury, did that occur while pole vaulting?
Yeah, I was training in the Philippines a day before my departure, going to the 2017 Southeast Asian Games in Malaysia. Then, you know, the pit was old and it wasn't really in the best shape. Then there was a hollow part where I unfortunately landed and twisted my knee, where, you know, it happened.
How devastating that must have been the day before you leave for your Southeast Asian Games.
Yeah.
Okay, and so rehabilitation took you how long?
Physically, I'll say like 8 months.
And was there another element, like mentally?
Mentally, it took a little bit more. You know, I think I'll say I just trust myself like a few months ago, maybe 5-6 months ago. It's when I actually believe that I can actually be better than I was before.
So you, right now you're in Italy. Did training bring you over there, or is life now over there in Italy for you?
It's training. The reason I started training here in Italy was the IAAF, the International Federation that handles athletics, sent me here to train with my current coach right now.
You will be back going to the Philippines come Southeast Asian Games, which are right around the corner. When is that? When do you make your way back to the Philippines?
I still don't know exactly the dates that I'll be flying, but in my head, I want to be there like a few days before the meet, just to compete, you know, because it's currently in the, you know, the season is already, to be honest, like the season is already finished, and I'm just trying to prepare for the upcoming one. I just want to prepare as much as I can, and you know, I'll do what I can in SEA Games, and of course, I'll push myself to win it. And I'll prepare for it, but I don't have time to be in the Philippines for a long, long, long time.
Sure, that's understandable. When exactly is the season? I never really thought of pole vaulting as having a season.
So outdoor usually starts around May and ends around May and ends around August, September. But this year the season was stretched out because the World Championship was set at October. Everyone had a long season. And me, I'm going to stretch it out a little bit more until the SEA Games, you know?
Sure. And then what about, what's off-season? Recuperating, or is it more like inside training, a little bit lighter? What does that look like?
Foundation training, and we're building like a base, you know, because when we're competing, we can't really train as hard. Because we compete like almost every week, so we can't really load during those times. So we, during the off season, this is when you load, that's when you lift heavy weights, you do long runs, you know, you do something other than pole vaulting to build your base, your foundation.
So I want to go back just a second here for your injury. It happened in the Philippines when you were there. Was that in the old Rizal Stadium?
It's in Ultra.
Okay. And so have you haven't been able to see or be at the new Rizal Stadium?
The new Rizal Stadium, no, but the one the SEA Games is going to be held on is, I've been there in New Clark City.
Okay, so you've seen the new one?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Do you know how you are favored when it comes to the SEA Games?
I'll say they're expecting me to win it like easy. That's what everyone thinks, but you know, for me, it's not like that. it's a competition, you know. It's like, even if you're in this statistics, you're the best there is. If you make a mistake in the meet, then you're done. Like, you know, Usain Bolt had a false start and he's the fastest man alive and he lost. And that's what my two cents about it.
Yeah, and well, you know, we got kind of the same type of answer when we talked to Heidenlin Diaz, who is a heavy favorite or was a heavy favorite for the SEA Games. But, you know, when it happens, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And so do you look ahead to Tokyo or is it one step at a time?
I'm taking it one step at a time. Right now, my radar is the SEA Games. But, you know, the end goal is Tokyo. So everything that I do starting from last month is everything that's going through Tokyo. It's preparing myself for Tokyo. But that doesn't mean that I won't prepare for SEA Games. It's like, it might be a little bit side route, like a detour a little bit. But my oldest training that I've been doing is building up to Tokyo.
As my job kind of to dive into sports around the world, it leads me to things like this. But are you aware of things like the Philippines has never had a gold medal and you're the favorite, at least you and a few other names, Heidelin being one of them, to win the first ever gold medal of the Philippines? Are you aware of stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I hear it, but I just don't try to digest it that much.
Even though it's a compliment, do you think it can damage if you hear it too much or you get too used to it?
It depends on how you take it. That's what I think. Like, what I'm saying at the SEA Games, like everybody's saying, you're gonna win it. If you let that sink in, there's gonna be so much pressure. But if you just like, okay, I mean, if I stay the same, if I do what I need to do, if you train as hard as you want to be, and like I say, just do what you do, because you like, for me, I just think like I've done pole vaulting since I was 6 years old, so I know. My body knows how to do it, and I just need to relax. And during the competition, I just need to relax and execute what I've been doing in training. So I think it depends on how you digest the information, and depends on the person as well.
I want to take you a step forward. I don't want to put the pressure on, like, I think you're going to win or whatever, but I want to hear what would that mean for you if you could just imagine it for a second, to be that first gold medal winner for the Philippines ever.
Just hearing that, there's goosebumps right now. You know, that's been my goal. I mean, that's like a goal that you never know if you're gonna reach. And if God would say that I'll be able to get the gold, and if I ever win the gold, it's just mind blowing. I don't even know how I'm gonna react right now, because I don't really know how it feels, but I just know it's going to be a fulfillment of everything that I've been working for. It's going to be probably one of the greatest achievements I would ever have done in my life.
And so a couple of questions come with that. After gold medal, or not after the gold medal, after your competition, after it's kind of all said and done, what does a former Olympian pole vaulter do? I mean, do you have to find a normal job, or can you keep a life of in the pole vault world?
To be honest, you know, I always look at athletics, it's not a job, it's more of a passion. You don't really make money out of athletics. It's not like basketball, like tennis or something like that. You don't really make a lot of money. You make a little bit, but it's more you're gonna just spend it on your training. If I'm gonna be honest, if I don't have people who support me, I wouldn't be able to afford to train and live here in Italy. I study electronics engineering, and I'm looking forward to actually using what I know about it. And you know, it's my hobby. It's something that I'm interested as well to do. And I hope that when I'm all said and done here, and I can pursue my dream as an engineer.
So on our last episode, or two episodes ago, we talked to some people for beach volleyball, and they were talking, and they said in a friendly manner, but they just thought that the Philippine Sports Commission underfunds certain sports, and they cited beach volleyball as one of them. How do you feel about the funding allocated for things like pole vaulting and basic athletics in the Philippines?
There's a really negative way of thinking. There's a really negative way the Filipino looks at track and field. They think of it like a poor man's sport. So I'll say, it kind of climb their way to the, like, those higher officials, they kind of look the same. You know, track and field can be a sport for, like, it could be cheap, but
sure,
if you're trying to fight for the gold medal in the Olympic Games, it's a lot of effort and funding, you know. I'll say that the allocation for my funding right now is good, because I think I have proven myself that I'm capable of doing something, but doesn't mean that the funding for track and field is good. And I'll say, like, I'm lucky enough to be here to where I am now and be doing what I do, but there's a lot of talents in the Philippines, a lot of kids who just can be the next Olympic champion, but they're not getting enough support coming from the government. And I do believe that it's the responsibility of the president or the governing body to produce grassroots and produce talents, you know, not in recruitment.
Do you think it is the job of the Philippine Sports Commission or any government funding international competition to fund teams or people that will bring back gold medals or that will bring back money as a form of revenue?
Sports is about winning, and money is more like it's a second thing that it comes when you win. So I think we should focus on winning the competitions and not like getting revenues out of it. You know, sports is a building block of a community, of a nation. And if you're going to think about money all the time, it's not something that will help you in the long run. And, you know, athletes train to win, and that's what you want to, I think that's what you try to push them to do and give them the resources to be able to do it and not think about the revenue and stuff.
So how would a young individual, specifically in the Philippines, get involved with something like pole vault?
That's tough. There's not really a program right now for the young kids, which kind of makes me sad. And, you know, one of my goals, that's why I've been talking to a bunch of corporate people. I'm trying to just make it as accessible as basketball. You know, basketball, we have a lot of courts. We have a lot of courts everywhere, and people can just shoot around. People can dribble, kick. Kids can try the sport. And I want pole vaulting to be a little bit the same. I don't think I can make it like basketball, but, you know, at least be accessible to the people who wants to do it. And but in doing so, Philippines need to have places where we can train. But at the moment, I'll say there's only one right now in the whole Manila where you can jump, and that's not a good sign.
To kind of wrap up then, is there anything that you think listeners need to know about you or the upcoming competitions or your pole vaulting experience?
I don't think there is, to be honest. Like,
and that's fine. That's fine too. Sometimes we just want to make sure that nothing is missed. Awesome. Thank you for that. Good luck on the training and good luck in the upcoming SEA Games. Stay healthy, and we're excited to watch you compete, all right?
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling, and thank you very much for having interest in me.
We're very interested.
It's not a lot, yeah.
We're going to be watching closely, all right? Good luck out there.
Thank you. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
See ya.
Or evening, sorry. Good yeah. evening.
Bye.
Bye.
I have a hard time sometimes coming up with things to wrap up about, and especially in an interview like that, Ernest covered everything. You know, it was very, very clear, very concise, and there's really nothing that I wanted to make sure we get to. I think we got to it very well. I wanted to reiterate, sometimes we look at, I think really specifically, we look at Olympians, and we think a couple of things. Rich, everything they need, set for life. And I think through our conversations with both Heidelin and Ernest Obiena that that's not necessarily the case. And even Ernest was talking about it's not about money. He's able to train, and Heidelin's able to train because somebody's sponsoring them, or like we've talked about in a few interviews, maybe the government's sponsoring in some way. But it's not that they're getting these million-dollar contracts because they're so good at their sport. They're getting sponsored for now, and they know that this isn't forever, and so they do need to think about something in the future. And we've talked about that in almost every sport that we've covered, is that we really need to be prepared as athletes. I say we, you all need to be prepared as athletes for what comes after sports. It can be your life and your mindset from an incredibly early age until right now, all you're thinking about is training and getting ready, and that's great. But if we flip back to, let's go back to our interview with Remus in Egypt, female Egyptian basketball player playing professional basketball in Egypt. She talked about her degrees that she has. She has a couple of them. She's ready to go for when it's done. She wants to play basketball now. Great. That's her passion. Great. But she knows that at some point that's going to be done and she needs to be ready for what comes next. Talk to Heidelin. What's her plan? Military, possibly, right? We talked to Austin playing football out in Austria. He's ready. You know, he has his eye on coaching. Everything I'm doing and what we're doing at Globally Ballin' is to help you, the athlete. And I think one of the things we've learned through all of these interviews so far is be ready for what's next. Realize that playing sports might not be your whole life. In fact, it won't be your whole life. That doesn't mean sports won't be. You can find a career in it afterwards. But know that playing your sports is not your whole life. And there needs to be something that you're ready for next. And the other thing, if we even flip back to both the intro, you hear it briefly in the intro, but also the whole interview with agent Jeremy Haylett, is he talks about that terrible and devastating story with Wayne Bradford, American playing professional basketball in Indonesia. I'll just reiterate the story. He's playing basketball in Indonesia. He was a star in Indonesia. He was actually playing in the All-Star game when he had a bad injury, and they thought it was something torn. They knew that, but what they didn't know is that he was bleeding internally, and by the time they realized what was happening, they couldn't get him to a correct hospital or a big enough hospital to take care of an injury like this in time, and he ended up losing his leg, all because of an injury that people thought they've seen before, not knowing what was really going on, but it happened in a split second while playing basketball. And that's not to scare you, but that's to accentuate the point that we don't know when this is going to be all done. And so you really want to make sure you're ready for whatever comes next. And I think I bring that up and I kind of go on that tangent because I think Ernest really hit that on the head. But it's because, especially being an Olympian, it's clear that this is for now. I'm being sponsored for now. I'm fighting, playing for my country for now. And I know that in the end, I'm going to have to support myself in another way. But I think that mindset is important for everyone across the board. Notice we're not interviewing NBA stars. Part of that is because it's not really in the mission of what we're doing. It doesn't really fit our goal. Our goal is to reach out and talk with people on this level of international sports, not star NBA or not NBA stars or NFL stars, NHL or MLB stars. We're talking about the thousands of people playing sports all around the world, and what does their life look like? And for their life, the vast majority of them are not getting a paycheck that's going to cover them from age 35 to the time that they die. And so it's all this planning while being an athlete. And that just adds another load on top of you as an international athlete to prepare for. But I this is why I'm really happy with what we're doing here at Globally Ballin', because I think it's very beneficial. So I've rambled, but I want to thank Ernest for his interview, and you all, the fans and the athletes listening, appreciate it, and good luck out there.
Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through, and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted, either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin', you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram @globallyballinofficial, Twitter @globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com/, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.